Prabhu, Paramatma, Brahman, and Vishnu, Absolute Truth. Are they or aren't they the Absolute Truth?
That's the question from the contact page. Hare Krishna. Well, I'm very impressed that someone can ask such a question. So even the ability to question is a gracious extension from the upper world. Sukadev Goswami praises Parikit Maharaj's question. What is it? Varyan Ejate Prajna. I forget the rest. But he's saying your question is very Atmasamvit, Sanrapi. Anyway. It's very relevant. It's a good question because it's beneficial for everyone. Once said to Srila Guru Maharaj, we're thinking about other books to make besides the ones that we published. And one additional title that wasn't fully developed but came under the heading of Inquiry the Absolute. Absolute Inquiry, Inquiry the Absolute. So, we're interested in the absolute truth. There's absolute truth and relative truth. Srila Guru Maharaj tells us the word sadhu is based upon the word sat, which means eternal. The sadhus, they're interested in the eternal world, the permanent world. Once when I was at the Calcutta Book Fair, so many books were there from all over India, from all over the world. But there were some old books published in the time of the Raj, the British occupation, and it was written by a historian under the authority of Her Majesty the King, that kind of thing. And I just looked through at the opening pages, and one of the things of interest that he said was writing back to his countrymen. He said, they don't approach history the way that we do. What is the Western approach to history? My history teacher summed it up. She said, you can encapsulate the whole of Western history in one word, booty. Right? And what she means by that is, when you study Western history, the Peloponnesian War, and I always joke with our Greek devotee that her ancestors fought in the Peloponnesian War. It's one of the things they make you memorize. That it's always one group comes in, they fight with someone, and then they take over their land, their wealth, their women. That's called booty in the classic sense of the term. She said, so the whole approach to Western history is like that, with dates. These people were in charge up to this point, then another group came in and they took everything over, and then they were in charge for a certain amount of time. And then there's another set of dates. He said, but the Puranas, the histories and the itihases they have here, they're not chronicling the material world and the events of the material world. They didn't find that of interest. That's continually changing. That's why if we mention the Peloponnesian War, everyone go like, what are you talking about? Even though you may have had to study it in high school or college. All these names, dates, and places, they will all change and ultimately vanish. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Avritunojana. From Brahma Loka, the topmost planet in the material world, down to the lowest planets, the Patalokas. All positions are temporary. The life duration of the average person on Brahma Loka is said to be 15 trillion years. We think, well, that's a long time, relatively speaking. But it's 15 trillion years there. It's their equivalent of 100 years. So it's all temporary. Let's say, avirinchi amangalam. Even Brahma has inauspiciousness in his life. So the sadhus are those who are interested in the permanent world, beyond the saguna plane, the nirguna world. As Sukadeva Goswami says, parinishtitopi nirgunye uttama shloka lilaya grihita cheta rajar se akyanam yadaditavan. So he is legendary, and legendary for being liberated even within the womb of his mother. So he's already situated in the nirguna plane. Means beyond tama, raja, sattva, ignorance, passion, and goodness. So, but within this realm, we're told Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, they're the guna avatars. So then the question arises, why should Vishnu be a guna avatar? A sattva-guna, if sattva-guna is mundane. And it means by extension. Actually, Vishnu is situated in the Vaikuntha world and the southern hemisphere of the nirguna plane of the Adhoksaja realm. But by extension, from there to here, predominating over the saguna mode of goodness, sattva-guna. And we should take it that Vishnu is the expansion of Krishna. Told in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the very beginning, Vedanti tat tatvavidas tatvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabyate. Advaya Gyan, there's only one thing to be known, really. That is Krishna. And Krishna is not alone. So it means Radha and Krishna. And by extension, everything and everyone else. But this Advaya Gyan, this one thing to be known, can be understood in terms of three aspects. Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Brahma, towards the all-accommodating absolute, the all-accommodating principle of the infinite. As I've mentioned many times, all these things should be done before. They're distracting. Just do, we've been here for 20, 30 minutes. Do them before. Don't start doing them during. So the extremes of the infinite being Brahma and Paramatma. Brahma at one extreme, the all-accommodating, greater than the greatest. Right? Paramatma is the other extreme of the infinite. All permeating, right? Within everything, as we hear in the Brahma Sangita, Andantarastam Paramanu Chayantarastam. Right? And the heart of every atom and the heart of every living being. Right? So I call these the extremes of the infinite. Greater than the greatest, all accommodating. Everything fits within that. That's why, by extension, Brahman, impersonal conceptions, appear superficially to be able to contain everything. Paramatma, at the other extreme, smaller than the smallest. Right? So, Guru Maharaj poses the question in this way. If these are the extremes of the infinite, and in reference to this question, the extremes of the absolute, what will be the central conception? What is the central conception of the infinite? Krishna Rajatega Kela Sarvatam Naralila Naravapu Tahara Swarup Gopavesh Venukar Navakishor Natavar Naralila Hoy Anurup. The central conception of the infinite means the golden mean. Right? Is Krishna conception, which is distinguished by what? Human-like proportions. So it's easier for people to accommodate the infinite as being greater than the greatest that they can think of, or even smaller than the smallest. But to think of the infinite, the central conception of the infinite, the aprakrita lila of Krishna, which is aprakrita, like mundane, but not human-like, human-like dimensions, human-like proportions. This is even bewildering to the gods. Muhyanti yatsuraya. It's mentioned in the first sloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Sambandha Gyan sloka. Janmadyasa yatonvayad itaratas cha arteshu abhinya swarat tene brahma hridaya adikavaye muhyanti yatsuraya. Even the gods are bewildered in trying to properly conceive, properly estimate Krishna conception. So we have Brahma Vimohan Lila, Indra Mohan, right? Mohini Murti, even Shiva. Right? So Bhagavan, let me say, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan. Bhagavan proper. Well, we hear in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyante Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabaha. It's a rare great soul who'll come to the understanding that Vasudev, Krishna, is everything. Right. But as Srila Guru Maharaj will tell us, there's gradation in everywhere and everything. So there's gradations in Krishna conceptions. There are gradations in conceiving the Supreme Absolute Truth. So when it says Vasudev Sarvamiti, it's the beginning of the personal conception. But in the absence of his Shakti or potency, his feminine counterpart. So it's not Bhagavan proper. Bhagavan realization proper begins with in the company of his Shakti or potency. So what is the beginning, really? Lakshmi and Narayan of Vaikuntha. And as Srila Gurudev said, just to make a simple comparison, Vaikuntha, one Lakshmi, one Narayan. Krishna conception by comparison, Lakshmi Sahasrashatasham Brahmasevyamanam. Hundreds and thousands, millions of Lakshmis for one Krishna. Right. That gives us a hint of something special and unique to Krishna conception. So we're told, Guru Maharaj, southern hemisphere, the lower hemisphere of the Adhoksaja realm of the spiritual world, that is Vaikuntha. Right? 2.5 rasas, Shanta rasa, Dasya rasa, Dasya, and a hint of Sakya, friendship, and old-time servitors. But if we go to Ayodhya, Ram, Leela, then the other rasas are introduced. We have all five. He has brothers, mother, father, brothers. Vishnu has no mother or father. But Ram has a mother and a father, brothers, and a consort. He has a wife, Sita. But there we can say, conjugal seva. It is seva, seva mayoyam loka. Everything and everyone in the spiritual world is constituted of supremely enriched dedicating tendency. There's no tinge of exploitation there. So conjugal seva is restricted to Sita. If we go further, where it will be extended instead of one queen to 16,108 queens, that will be Dwaraka. And as we go from Dwaraka conception, Krishna as a king, to the more intimate conception of Krishna, Mathura, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Radhakunda, then will be introduced the Parakya Bhav of Goloka, paramour relation. So when Sanatan Goswami points out in his Brihad Bhagavatamritam Tika that when Sukadeva Goswami had finished listing all the principal incarnations and avatars, that it occurred to Suta Goswami in the retelling to the 60,000 sages in Naimisharanya, that they might think because Krishna is within the list that he is one of them or that the others are equal to him. He said, Ete changsa kalakpung sa, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Sayam. All of these that have been mentioned, expansions, anshas, etc., Krishna, he's Swayam Bhagavan. He is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's that Supreme Absolute Truth, Brahma Paramatma Bhagavan. But even within Bhagavan, there's gradation from Lakshmi Narayan, Sita Ram, Rukmini Dwarakadish, and Radha Krishna and the Braja Gopis in Vrindavan. So the target of the bhaktas, the devotees, is not Paramatma Gyan. Paramatma Gyan is the target of the yogis. Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Yes, they're all aspects of the Supreme Absolute Truth, but there's gradation. Devotees are not interested, their target is not Paramatma Gyan. But, and even within Bhagavan, it is not Lakshmi Narayan of Vaikuntha, right? who should not be seen divorced from Krishna conception. Right? So it has to do with appreciation for reality. When Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, he's touring South India. He stayed with the Sri Vaishnavas, means worshippers of Vishnu, Lakshmi Narayan, in the house of Benkatabhatta. And that family line, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But Benkatabhatta at the time, a Sri Vaishnava, a worshipper of Lakshmi and Narayan. That's well and good. Mahaprabhu is staying there happily. It's during the rainy season, the Chaturmasya, when the sannyasis stop traveling and they stay in one place 3-4 months. They're having wonderful discussions all the time. Harikatha, And one day, Mahaprabhu says, why is it that your Lakshmi Devi wants to have rasa with my Krishna? Like they have bumper stickers on cars, and then he says, my India is great. I like that. They don't say India is great. My India is great. That's the Indian way of expressing that. So, Mahaprabhu was saying, your Lakshmi Devi wants to have rasa with my Krishna. Why is that? He's like teasing him a little bit. Because it sounds like something's wrong. Lakshmi is the consort of Narayan. Rasa, by extensions, means erotic pastimes. She wants to have rasa with Krishna? And Venkata was saying, well, he says, the sloka, what is it? Siddhanta Tvaveda Api, Sri Shu, etc. I forget what he's saying. Siddhantically speaking, Krishna and Vishnu are one. They're the same. But Vishnu has many different forms. And so, this has many different avatars. Nrisimha Dev for this, another one for that. So Krishna, he's known for rasa, for those pastimes. So it makes sense. If Lakshmi Devi, that's not part of the Vaikuntha pastimes. So if she wants to engage in the rasa pastimes, then naturally that'll be with Krishna. He's known as Rasaraj. And siddhantically speaking, Krishna and Vishnu are the same. Because really, Vishnu is Krishna, Krishna is Vishnu. And Mahaprabhu says, yeah, that's a good answer. But what I don't understand then, on the basis of what you just said, why she isn't given admission into those pastimes. What you said just it makes perfect sense. But then why isn't she given admission? Lakshmi Devi. And not only that, but Dandakaranya Rishis, Shrutis, personified Vedas, Lakshmi Sitas, Yajna Sitas, others are given entrance, but not Lakshmi Devi. And what is the evidence for that? Given by the wives of Kaliya in those pastimes. How exalted they must be. What their hearts vented is being quoted by Mahaprabhu. Think about that. The wives of Kaliya, what they expressed, Mahaprabhu's quoting that himself. How exalted they are. Kasyanu bhavosya chadeva vidmahe tavangri renu sparsha dikara yadvanchana sri lalanat charatapo vihaya kamam suchiram dridavrata. After they saw Kaliya with the padaduli, the dust from the lotus feet of Krishna and the kumkum, Krishna's lotus feet are covered with kumkum, all over their husband, Kaliya. Everywhere. Talk about makeup. So, and they're thinking, Yadvanchana Sri Lalanacharatapo, Lakshmi Devi performed austerities in the Tapovan. That means in the forest where you perform austerities. For lifetimes, and she couldn't get this position. And another way to put it is to say, she's the goddess of fortune, and with all of her wealth, she can't buy a ticket to the rasa dance. Yeah, Vanchana Sri. Vanchana means her desire. Vanchana Sri, Lalana Charatapo. Vihaya Kaman Suchiram Dritavrita. So they're celebrating the good fortune of their husband, Kaliya. But what he got, the goddess of fortune couldn't get. At this point, Venkatabhata realizes that this conversation has gone beyond human comprehension. That's when things get interesting. That's when they get spiritual, is when they go beyond human comprehension. Everyone wants divinity to be within the realm of human comprehension, human feasibility, what we think is possible rationally. What kind? That's why people are not interested in God or want little or nothing to do with it. Achintya Shakti, Muhyanti Yatsurayaha, the God, the Krishna we're interested in, is bewildering even to the demigods, can bewilder Brahma, Indra, Shiva, right? Mahavishnu wants a glimpse of Krishna, wants to see the beauty of Krishna, how beautiful he must be. Even other forms of Krishna want to see, have a glimpse, Yang Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam. Right? It says, Shama Sundar, Krishna, what does he look like? Achintya Guna Swarup. This Swarup, this form, has inconceivable qualities. People say, why is Krishna this color? Why is he like that? It's an inconceivable color, an inconceivable form. But we're given some hints, local references. There's a nyai, a type of logic called Saka Chandra Nyai. Means the logic of seeing the moon through the branches of a tree. What this means is the analogy is never the proof. It's a local reference point to send your thinking in a particular direction. So what Saka Chandra Nyai means is, say, like tonight, you can't see where the moon is. And I want to show you the moon. So I say, you see that tree over there? And you go, yeah, I see the tree. All right, go up the trunk. Now, see, go out on the right branch of the tree. See at the very end of the right branch? There's the moon. The tree is not what is important. The tree is not proof. It's just something local to help you look in the right direction, to see something. So we say, Shama Sundar. What is that Sham? What is the Sundar of that Sham? Hi. Siam. We live in a land called Siam. How fortunate we are. This place was named after Shama Sundar Krishna. Siam comes from Sham. But what is that Sham? It's Achintya Guna, an inconceivable quality. But they say, oh, if you've seen the monsoon rain cloud, something that's taking you in the direction. Same, same, but different. Right? So Venkatabhata, he's being upgraded by Mahaprabhu to Krishna conception. But then Mahaprabhu cautions him. He says, but don't think offensively about Lakshmi Devi. Because what? Lakshmi Sahasrashatasham Brahma Sevyamanam. Those gopis, they are Lakshmis. Radharani, when her expansions are mentioned in Charitamritam, we're told the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha, Mahishis, the queens of Dwaraka, and the Brajagopis. But the beauty is, her expansions, her extensions, yet they have individual personalities. That is inconceivably beautiful and wonderful. And Srila Saraswati Thakur, in one place, Guru Maharaj told, he said that the jiva souls in Madhura Rasa come from the Anga Jyoti of Radharani. It's Brahma Jyoti, Anga Jyoti. Brahma Jyoti, a general thing. Subal has a Jyoti. Balaram has a Jyoti. Radharani has a Jyoti. So we shall resist trying to take the infinite, the supreme absolute truth, and make a tree chart, or want every little aspect of the infinite to fit in a little box in our puppy brain, our skull-sized kingdoms that we rule over. Dwaraka Krishna is enamored by the beauty of Vrindavan Krishna. And in the inverse, see, these things become more meaningful the more we become acquainted with them. So if we understand how inconceivably beautiful and attractive Vishnu is, then this will take on increased connotation and meaning when we hear that when the Brajagopis are searching for Krishna and they think they see him hiding in a kunj, the kunja, because he is, and as they think they've found him and they're running towards him, Krishna pushes out two more arms and takes a Vishnu form. And when the Brajagopis encounter him and see, from a distance it looked like Krishna, but close up it's Vishnu. It says, Ragodaya Kunchati. Their hearts are, one word is crippled. They're disappointed. Oh, Namo Narayan. They're respectful. Have you seen Krishna? We're searching for Krishna. And you know everything. Where is he hiding? But when, and so that shows that Brajagopis are dismissing Vishnu from the object of their search. Progress means elimination and a new acceptance. Raghunath Das Goswami says, don't be too attentive to Vidimarg. Because if you are, you'll be hurled down to Vaikuntha. Raghunath Das Goswami, the Prayojan Tattva Acharya, can say such a thing. Right. So, Vrajagopis, they dismiss Vishnu from the object of their search. Is he not the absolute truth? Is he not Bhagawan? Dismissed. Not interested. Hearts are disappointed. Then what is it they're looking for? That Vishnu cannot reciprocate? Therefore, Krishna is called Akila Rasamrita Murti. He's the all-accommodating, all-reciprocating Rasa Murtiman. So there's a different type of all accommodation and all permeating trace to the central conception, Bhagawan, Swayam Bhagawan Shri Krishna, who is where? At the right hand of Srimati Radharani. That is Swayam Bhagawan. Only Radharani is capable of giving Krishna in full. At the side of another gopi or another, he is less than Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. So Radharani's serving group, her attendants, they're always promoting her. She can extract full rasa from Krishna. Hladini Shakti Pushti Karan, and is nourishing the servitors. So in the highest context, the highest expression of the Supreme Absolute Truth is in Radha Krishna. But Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Hladini Shaktarasmad Ekatman Abhapi Bhuvi Pura Bedam Deham Gatoto. But could anything be better than that? As if they come together as one, as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Achintya Guna Swarupa Shyamasundara Krishna, it is 64 qualities given by Rupa Goswami, and the 25 prominent qualities of Srimati Radharani, and Kautikami Murchitangri Rupa Rasa Rangaram Premadama Deva Meva Nome Gaura Sundaram. As we're told, 10 Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham, 10 million cupids personified as one, hint at the beauty, charm, and sweetness of the inconceivably beautiful form of Krishna. Koti Kami Murchi Tangri Rupa Rasa Rangaram. Guru Maharaj says, 10 million cupids faint to see the beauty of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. How perfect is that? So Guru Maharaj concludes in the Prema Dhamma Deva Stotram, Atma, what is it? Atma Sava Siddha Purna Sokya Lakshanam, the Purna Shok Lakshanam, the ultimate reality should be understood, in his words, he said, to be dancing, because he's relishing his own sweetness. Sweetness is tasting itself and becoming mad as an outcome. Dancing madly in ecstasy and chanting his own holy name. Because he's totally satisfied to the extent of its ecstatic, overflowing and ecstatic dance and song. The Hiranya Purusham. The Hiranya Purush is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So, whenever we speak of these things, there are many levels that they're to be understood on. And it's like the spiritual version of a unified field theory, that proper Siddhanta will help us understand everything in its proper place. But even in the Supreme Absolute Truth, there's gradation. Sanatana Goswami is expressing that gradation in Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Rupa Goswami is expressing that gradation in Upadeshamritam. Vaikuntha Janita Varo Madhupuri Tatrapi Rasotsavad. Ramananda Roy is expressing that in the Ramananda Sambad. And Srila Guru Maharaj is expressing this continually throughout all of his writings, teachings, books, concepts. Iho hoy age kaho ar, what it says in the Ramana and the Sambad. Yes, that is good, but go further. Can you go further? Guru Maharaj's paraphrase of this is dive deep into reality. Paramatma has no consort. So it's Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the beginning of consorthood. And then depths, gradation. Any other question? Yeah.
We have one question from Ananda Moy from USA. Could we say that not giving honor can be as damaged as to committed the offense to a Vaishnava? Are there gradations?
Not giving honor?
That not giving honor can be as
damaging
as to committed offense to Vaishnava. Are there gradations?
Yes, we know in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam is laying the groundwork for Krishna conception. It says, Dharma projita kaitabo traparamo nirmat saranam satam. So nirmatsarja, on one hand, means non-enviousness, not being envious of the devotees. There's the devotees in general, then very high-level devotees, the supreme devotees, Brajagopis, the ultimate devotee, Srimati Radharani. So sometimes we think aparad to mean upa, radha, what is against Radharani. So anyone who's been accepted will be cautious in our dealings with them. By accepted, what do you mean? Initiated by a substantial Vaishnava. Right? Means accepted as Krishna's own. But there's gradation of devotees. Right? We hear in general, third class, second class, first class. So we can understand to dishonor anyone is potentially damaging, but what to speak of the higher section. So when the example given in Charitamritam is when the devotee of Nityananda Prabhu comes to where Kaviraj Goswami is, and his relative is doing the puja. The relative, what is it, Gunarnava Mishra? He does not, as Guru Maharaj would say, take the permission of the deity to then receive the devotee. But rather, in the name of worshiping the deity, he's ignoring the devotee. So we're told the hallmark of progressive devotion, the intermediate position, is to move from the third class position of not giving recognition to the devotee in the name of honoring the deity, but rather an inverse takes place, to see more value in the position of the devotee. When Srila Guru Maharaj came to Gaudiya Math, before he joined, once he was there at the time of Gaur Purnima, and Saraswati Thakur was on the so-called first floor of a building with his intimate associates, and Guru Maharaj went to where the deity of Mahaprabhu was. And he said to that devotee, so this deity is representation of Mahaprabhu, or how should we understand? The devotee was indignant. What? The deity is directly Mahaprabhu. It's Mahaprabhu himself. And Guru Maharaj said, oh, all right, then here is Mahaprabhu himself, and your Guru Maharaj, he's the highest devotee? Yes, he's the highest devotee. So here's Mahaprabhu himself, and your Guru Maharaj, the highest devotee, is upstairs with his devotees, and you're, I understand, one of the lower section devotees, you're with the deity. Can you explain that? He didn't know Guru Maharaj's question was a loaded question. But he was a member of Gaudiya Math, trained by Saraswati Thakur. He had a good answer. He said, yes, what you say is true. He said, except that the time of Gaur Purnima, he said, our understanding is Mahaprabhu will be appearing in the heart of our Guru Maharaj in a more real, substantial, and accessible way. And Guru Maharaj said, that I had to think about. So, yes, the deity, Sakshad Brajananda Hari, is there directly, but what is our capacity to appreciate that? Whereas Krishna is more accessible to us through the agency of his devotee. So Guru Maharaj said, in this sense, in a situation, one would, with the permission of the deity, receive his devotee. As Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, Tasmai Deyam Tato Grajam Sa Pujo Cha Yatahyaham. My devotees are, everything that applies to me applies to them. Worshipable as I am, they are worshipable. So, and later in the Uddhava Gita, in the 11th canto, he says, Mad Bhaktya Puja Abhyadika. Jai Srila Bhakti Bimala Abhidhut Maharaj Ki Jai. No, this is perfect. The devotee has arrived, so we're receiving. Hare Krishna. So, Mad Bhaktya Puja Abhyadika. This is, you know, but anyway, we'll pretend. Maharaj, you please accept. Yes. So here he's saying that the worship of my devotee takes precedence over my devotee, over myself, the worship of myself. But before we go, leveling these accusations toward they're not honoring properly. Gurudev says, my religion is finding fault with myself. So if the question is how I'm not properly honoring others, then it's a good question. But if we're thinking of applying this to others, that's not a good, that will not be healthy. Apply it to ourselves. Right. My religion is finding fault with myself, are his very words. Saraswati Thakur says, it is only that I am honeycombed with defects that I take the task of finding fault with others. Right. He said, while sitting at the lotus feet of Guru, one does not become aware of the defects of others, but rather becomes aware of his own thousands of defects. These are the statements of the Guru Varga. So I say, if this question is being asked for someone saying, yes, I'm thinking I'm not properly honoring, then that can be very helpful to making spiritual progress. But if we're thinking of applying that to others, then the very thing that we're trying to avoid will come to us. You see? We'll be dishonoring the others to level these accusations. So it's better to turn the critical eye inward. So Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, we hear, he didn't like to hear criticism, not only like disallowed hearing any criticism of any Vaishnavas. And the implication is not that there wasn't any wrong, just he didn't want to hear it because he knew how damaging that could be to one's faith and development. to think ill of another Vaishnava. Srila Guru Maharaj, whenever something was brought to him, he had a marvelous way of adjusting things. I just heard something recently where someone came and they told Guru Maharaj where some particular devotees were upset, and maybe with regard to him, and the devotee came in and said, "They're roaring like lions over there." And Guru Maharaj said, "Oh?" He said, "To roar like a lion for Mahaprabhu, that is a wonderful thing." When they told Guru Maharaj, "There's a list, someone made a big list of offenses to you," and they read them out to Guru Maharaj, he said, "Is that all they could find wrong? It is rather a glorification." So Saraswati Thakur was saying, when I am situated at the lotus feet of Sri Guru, I do not become aware of the defects of anyone else, but I do become aware of my own shortcomings. That's true, but not of others. And the implication being, if I am becoming too much aware of the perceived flaws of others, then perhaps I'm not safely situated at the lotus feet of Sri Guru. Then my position is vulnerable. The Guru's like the water, the Shishya like the lotus, Krishna's the sun. If not safely situated in the water of Sri Guru, the shelter of Sri Guru, Asraya Vigraha, then the Krishna concept, the very sun of Krishna, burns the lotus. Gurudev, what did he say? Amanina manandena, giving honor, respecting someone who doesn't deserve it, tolerating what is intolerable. That's tolerance. That's giving respect. It's easy to give respect to someone who's obviously deserving. We can tolerate what we can tolerate, but can we tolerate what is intolerable? So nirmatsarja, non-envious. The inversion of that is to show some honor, some appreciation, some respect. And not just formal, not talking about formal respect, using this kind of a honorific title and not that. That is formal, the formal aspects of respect. What will come first? What will come second? We're interested in the substantial, heartfelt appreciation of the devotion of others. Not formalities, that someone didn't observe some formality. Right? They violated a technicality. Right? No one will be dismissed from Krishna consciousness for violating a technicality. Rather, the Raga Bhaktas, they're celebrated, they are ignoring those formalities. Once Guru Maharaj said, when Yashoda is whipping Krishna, no, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paramahansa. She's running after Krishna, and Krishna's running from her, and his kajal, mascara, is running down his face. Gopyadade, Tvayikitavshasi, Dhammatava, Yate, Dushashru, Kalilanjana, Sambramaksham. Kunti say, how beautifully bewildering this vision is. Whom fear personified is scared to death of. That Krishna is running, crying his mascara running down his lotus face, making it even more beautiful. And Mother Yashoda is running after him. Not interested in the formal absolute. formality, but substance. And substance means devotion. So there we need to give recognition to the devotion of others. Rupa Goswami says that in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the book of devotion, that one of the symptoms of a devotee is they're always appreciating the good qualities of another devotee. So when Narada is approaching all those devotees in the first half of the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, every time he praises one, they praise someone else as being higher to them. He goes to them, praises them, they praise someone else as being higher. On and on and on. Till what happens? Asamaho chararenu jushamahangshang brindavane kimapi gumalatosa dinam yad dushtajam svajanam arjapatam chahitva bejur mukunda parivim shrutibir vimrigyam. That Uddhava natata priyatama atmayonir na shankara nacha sankarsana sri naivatma cha yathabhavan. That Uddhava, who Krishna says is more dear to me than my own self, he praises the dust of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani and the Braja Gopis. And then, all right, so then there establishes the great devotees. And what are they saying? Oh, how exalted is the soil of Vrindavan, the trees of Vrindavan. They're praising all the Shantarasa Bhaktas. Chandravali and Herbert, they're saying, this flute, what is this? A dry piece of wood with so many flaws or nuts is capturing all the nectar from Krishna's lips. What was meant for us gopis? The flute has stolen that. Indirectly, that type of envy, Rupa Goswami is celebrating in the sloka. But other than that, not. Everyone, they're appreciating. The highest devotees are appreciating the position of those who appear to be in a lower position. That's Krishna consciousness. Where the inverse, the lower group is offending the higher or not appreciating. But the actual higher devotees, they're appreciating the devotion even the lower. Guru Maharaj is saying when the lady, disciple of Swami Maharaj in the Nat Mandir of Chaitanya Saraswat Mat says, what I like about Krishna consciousness is we're being given a chance to have a family life with Krishna. Guru Maharaj quoted that for 30 years as something that touched his heart. He's appreciating what she expressed. When Achyutananda said, hadn't eaten for 3 days because some Maharaj left with the key to the food. And he came to the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat for like a little prasad, and Gurudev and Guru Maharaj found out. They were mortified and said, why didn't you come? Achyutananda said, Krishna's dancing. That melted the heart of Guru Maharaj and Gurudev. Guru Maharaj told that story for 30 years. Krishna's dancing. Amen. Like, if he's dancing and so many are being thrown this way and that way and trampled upon, Krishna's dancing. It's Gopi Bhav. That if he's happy, then everything's okay. I'm fasting for 3 days. That's not a problem. Krishna's dancing. So that was expressed from his heart. Guru Maharaj and Gurudev, they're recognizing that. There's some devotion there. They're celebrating that. That's what giving honor is. Not formalities, titles, and first position, second position, this kind of thing. But recognition of substantial devotional qualities, tendencies, expressions, seva, service, those things. That's a meaningful way to give some recognition. Yes.
What does it mean when it says the water is the guru, the disciple of lotus, and sun can burn? What does it really mean? How does burn?
Because Krishna, think of the sun. The sun, its capacity to give heat and light is the magnitude of the sun is infinite, right? We're 93 million miles away, or 150 million kilometers away from the sun, right? And we can feel sometimes, and we're in Thailand, right? And we can feel how hot it is from 150 million kilometers away. So then what would it be like to go to the center of the sun? Long before we get there, we'll disintegrate. So we can understand something in comparison. The magnitude of Krishna's intensity of beauty, love, charm, and sweetness, sun-like magnitude. So there's a particular position to be situated where we'll be nourished by that. So we're told, under the shelter of the Ashraya Vigraha, right? Just like there's certain metal you put in a pot for smelting, where they melt, they create iron, you put iron and make steel, the pot doesn't melt. But what's inside melts. So the pot's made out of harder stuff. So the chit shakti, they're made out of harder stuff. And ultimately, guru goes toward the chit shakti section, the ashraya vigraha. So jiva has to always be under the shelter of guru, the ashraya vigraha, to be nourished by the magnitude of intensity of Krishna conception. Remove the ashraya. You know, the water, if you take away the water, that sun that was nourishing the lotus will burn the lotus. The lotus, ambuja, it needs to be situated in water. Then the sun thrives. That's the example. So the shisha lotus, situated safely in the water, sheltered by guru, the Krishna sun, Krishna conception will nourish. Remove guru, and the same thing will burn. So we're nowhere without guru. We have no individual capacity to approach Krishna or Krishna conception. And so we see sahaja imitation is another. Saying so many things about Krishna from this book, that book, and all to their detriment. Mayavadi's taking the name of Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, it's like thunderbolts. The sound, their Krishna Nam is like thunderbolts striking the heart of Krishna. So Krishna conception is only extended through Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnav. All others are fictitious, bogus, imaginary. Hare Krishna. And just the last thing to say, look, Krishna himself says, those who say they are my devotees directly, they're not my real devotees. My real devotees are those who are devotees of my devotees. That's the secret to devotion.